The Holy Spirit wants to mess you up today. Is that okay? Your mess is a problem. If he messes you up, it's good. Now, before I start getting the word this morning, is that me buzzing? Okay. The light's okay. Before we get in the word this morning, let me just tell you something the Lord just told me right here on the front row as I was standing here. Does the Lord ever talk to you? Yeah. And he doesn't. It's not an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice from the Lord. In fact, the only time I had a close to physical encounter with the Lord, he didn't speak audibly. He spoke to my spirit from him because he's a spirit, the Bible says. But anyway, he said to my spirit, he said, I want you to tell them in the very beginning today, get over yourself. He said, tell them to just quit thinking about them. Get you off of your mind. All right? Now, I know some of you have some needs. Some of you need miracles. Some of you need healing. Some of you need things to happen supernaturally. And sometimes we come to church because we want to get those things. And there's no problem with that. But the Lord specifically told me to tell you, get you off of your mind. Is that good? Can we do that? We want to get him on our mind. We want to do what he's called us to do. So, we're going to get him off of our mind. All right, today we're going to begin by looking at this text we've been looking at for weeks and weeks and weeks out of Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus, the guy came to Jesus. He said, if you can help us do something. Then in Mark 9, 23, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Man, do you right now sense his presence? There's something very supernatural happening in here this morning, and so we're going to just respond to him today. The question is not, can he do something? The question is, if we can believe. We need a move of God in America. We need a move of God in Lubbock. For our partners out of town, we need a move of God in your town because many people listen to us via CD and internet. We need a move of God here. Amen? We need a move of God in this place. If we don't have a move of God, we're in trouble. This is good news to you, actually. Because this tells me that we can't fix anything, but he has to fix everything. How many of you in this room were filled with the Holy, got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues before 1980? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, that's several of you. Before 1980, many of you remember the charismatic renewal of the 70s. Right? You remember all those fantastic things that we got to see and that we got to experience? And it was so much fun, man. In those days, it was Jesus in the morning, Jesus at the noontime, and Jesus when the sun went down. It was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Not just the sweetest name I know, but everything I know. We just had these awesome encounters. And I mean, we saw things that make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. In fact, some of us, that happened to us. We'd see these supernatural outbreaks of the Spirit. And it was phenomenal. I was in a room one night with a group of men, and we were praying because we decided that we would pray all night before the Sunday morning service. And so we're in the sanctuary of the church, and we were praying, and all of a sudden, the glory of God came. Now, I was 18 at the time. That wasn't like last month. It was a while back. I think I was 18. 1973, I think. And the glory of God came into our church. And he came in, it was a church building, and he came in through the foyer, and there were these windows from, you know, how they do in some churches, where at the back of the auditorium there were these doors, and there were these windows that you could see into the foyer. They were kind of high. It wasn't like you could look out there, but you could see these windows. They were up here to let kind of light in. But there was no light on in that room where the foyer was. We were in the sanctuary, and there were just a few lights on. And all of a sudden, this bright light came on in the foyer. I mean, it wasn't like flipping the lights on. It was bright, bright, bright light. And the pastor said, "It's the Lord." And we all hit the floor. Because his glorious presence was so thick that not one of us dared lift his head, because he was just there. Wouldn't that be awesome? I dare say most of us, because of those days were so long ago, most have never experienced anything like that from God. I mean, every man in that room will testify to the fact that we saw that light, and the presence of God was so manifest that we were as dead men on the floor. I don't even know how long we were there. But I know this, the next morning we got to church and it was full. And I mean, within seconds of starting the service, they were singing, you know, we were just all like Spirit-filled Baptists at the time. And our preacher was a renegade pastor from a church that got fired because he got Spirit-filled. Within seconds of starting the service, this lady had this demonic manifestation. And I mean, that demon was crying and screaming because it did not want to be in the presence of God. And then within seconds, he was gone. And she was free. That was awesome. I could tell you story after story this morning just like that occurred in this charismatic renewal. The Lord spoke to me. He said, if we don't have a move of the Spirit of God, we're going to lose a whole generation of kids. Because religion just will not cut it. I mean, just this week, my kids were saying, you know what, you tell those stories about the 70s, and you tell the stories about one time Tammy and I went to the Toronto Refreshing, and I mean, wow, it was something. That was in the 90s, and they said, we've never seen anything like that. We want that, but we've never seen anything like that. Well, how about we just figure out how to position ourselves? We can't make him do anything. Sir, we're not telling you anything to do except we're believing his word. So we need to know it's going to take a miracle. It's just going to take a miracle. Man, when the church is all talk and no power. We're like that guy on the Andy Griffith Show who came and started selling like that snake oil stuff. And he said, if you take this, it'll cure cancer, it'll cure headaches, it'll cure the common cold, it'll cure everything in this bottle. I mean, it's like a miracle in a bottle. And Aunt Bee bought it. I don't know if you remember the show, but Aunt Bee bought it and she drank it and got drunk. And for a little while, she was cured of everything until the hangover set in. The Bible says, let me see if I can, I put it in my notes here. I want to say it right. The Bible says that a person who boasts a false gift is like clouds without rain. And a church has to some degree become a place that boasts of a false gift. We need to have the rain of the Holy Spirit. Look in Psalm 92, verse 10. We're going to look at this again in a few minutes, but look what it says. It says, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Now, unicorn here is not my little unicorn. It's not the pink animal with the stars on its hip with the one horn. Unicorn here literally in the Hebrew is wild ox. He's talking about an animal with power. He's talking about an animal whose horn, the wild ox, the one who had the biggest horns was usually the boss in the herd. He's saying, you've exalted my horn like the horn of a unicorn. You've made me powerful. Now look what it says, though. That's contingent on the next phrase. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The word anointed literally in the Hebrew means overflowing. I shall overflow with fresh oil. The only way that our horn, which is representative of God's power and God's authority, the only way that His authority and His power is going to work among us is if we are overflowing with fresh oil. That says then, if there's fresh oil, there's not fresh oil. That says there's old oil and there's fresh oil. We are trying our best as a church, not this church in particular, but the church is trying its best to operate in the supernatural power of God with old oil when it's going to take fresh oil to have a horn exalted like the horn of a unicorn. Not old oil, fresh oil. The church, for the most part, has lost the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Y'all smile at me, because it's going to get good before we get out of here today. I believe God. We've lost like the anointing of the Spirit of God. If fresh oil indicates the need for a new anointing. The church has replaced the miraculous power of the Holy Ghost with exciting music, raising of hands, slick preaching, and who can put on the best show. Because we're thinking that if we can create the atmosphere where you feel something, that is the anointing. Where do you feel? Do you remember? Well, we've talked about it many times. Where do you feel things? In your soul is where you feel it. Oh, did you feel the anointing? Listen, that could be anything if you're feeling it. You know in the Spirit. The Spirit is the place of knowing. All right, so what we've tried to do, if we can just get the lights just right, if we can get the subwoofer, now that's important. The subwoofer is way important. Because if we can get it going boom, 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 and you know how, boom, 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 all of a sudden, now we can get in the rhythm, we can feel it. Nothing wrong with lights and nothing wrong with the subwoofer. I like them both. But they are not the anointing. They are not the Holy Ghost. I know Him and I know they're not Him. So what happens is we're pretending and we're trying our best. Now, people are really trying, though. We want him. We want his presence. I read one time that Charlie Chaplin, anybody know who Charlie Chaplin is? Remember, he was the silent screen star in the 20s and 30s that, you know, walked like this and had the little mustache and the little bowler hat and walked around like that. Well, he was in Monte Carlo one time, and he went to a casino in Monte Carlo during the height of his popularity. And in that casino, they were having a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest. So he entered the Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest. He didn't win. He came in third place. That's because they didn't know what Charlie Chaplin really looked like. The church is trying to have a spirit-filled look-alike contest. And we're trying to look like we're spirit-filled. Hallelujah. My hands are up. That means I'm spirit-filled. Our words are on the screen and not out of a book. That means we're spirit-filled. The pastor said Shandai. That means we're spirit-filled. I think sometimes if the Holy Spirit came in a church, he might come in third place. I don't want to have a spirit-filled look-alike contest. I want the real deal. I want God to come into the church, and I mean, I want him to mess us up. Miracles of faith depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. It is time for you and me to return to our first love. We'll talk about that as we go. We've replaced something with something else. I'm not getting on to anybody, okay? I'm really not. I'm going somewhere this morning, and I'm not mad at you or me, because if it's anybody's fault, it would be mine, obviously. I'm not mad at me this morning. I'm not upset with other churches or anything. I know this, folks. If we're going to try to pretend to be like the big churches, we're really wasting our time, because they already know how to do what they do. The only thing we can do is have a move of God. That's all we can do. And if he doesn't come, we can just do this and go home. Let's look at a verse of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 2. Look what this says. Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. The Lord is talking. He says, through Jeremiah, he says, "Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead." God's begging something here. Verse 10, "For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation or a church changed their gods, which are yet no gods?" Now look at this next part. "But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." Now, don't go forward yet here. He said, y'all, I'm begging you here. He said, this isn't right that you would change the glorious power of God for your own strength that simply will not profit you. He said, this isn't right. I'm begging you to come back to the place of glory and get out of this thing that's not producing anything for you. Let's go on. Verse number 12. "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, and be ye very desolate, saith the Lord." Verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Now that's an interesting passage of Scripture. He said, My churches, my people have done two things. There's two things that they've messed up with here. Now, do you think, let's make sure we understand this, do you think God is saying this to him because he's saying, I'm getting ready to smash you like a bug? No, he just said, I'm begging you. I'm begging you to come into my glory. I'm begging you to come into my presence where the glory is so thick that that profits you. Because you can't do for God in the flesh what he called you to do. So he said they've done two things. They've forsaken the fountain of living water. They've forsaken, he said. They've forsaken where the glory comes out. They've forgotten. They've forgotten what it's like to be spirit-filled to overflowing. They've forgotten Jesus in the morning, Jesus at the noontime, and Jesus when the sun goes down. They've forgotten what it's like to be newly redeemed and newly filled with the Holy Ghost. So they've forgotten it. And then he said, and they've hewed them out cisterns. Now, what's a cistern, do you think? Well, a cistern is a huge container that they collected rainwater in, or fresh water. Normally it was buried underground, and it was huge, so they could use it for all the things that they needed. It was a huge reservoir of for water. He said, what you've done, when you choose to get outside the anointing, get outside the glory, get outside the power of the Holy Spirit, what that is like is building you a huge reservoir, underground or above ground, a huge reservoir that's broken. He said, it simply cannot hold the power of God. He said, when you try to imitate, and for them specifically, they were trying to imitate the power of God with false gods. He said, but for you to try to imitate me with something in the flesh, it just won't hold it. It just cannot do it. He said, there's no way that it can work if you're just trying to do that without me. He said, I want you to be a reservoir that is absolutely put together. He said, because the reservoir that's put together holds enough power or enough refreshing for a whole community. And it can help everybody in the community, and I'll continue to replenish it as long as you're not trying to do it in the flesh. As long as you don't replace the power of the Spirit with pretense. And let's pretend we're full of the Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor, I am. We're going to talk about that in just a second. We need Him. And not pictures of Him, not symbols of Him, not anything but Him, because anything but that is just simply a cistern that has a hole in it. When the work of the Holy Spirit is replaced by the plans and desires of man, it becomes a broken cistern, and it will run dry. Churches, not just ours, and I'm not mad at us at all. I just believe God is saying to us, all right, let's go on now. Let's do something different here. Churches, though, that replace a move of the Spirit of God with slick counterfeits in Him have holes in them. Let's go back to that text in Psalm 92:10. Look what it says. It says, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I want you right now, with all your heart, to ask God to anoint you with fresh oil. Go ahead. Lord, I ask you, anoint me with fresh oil. Man, the old oil's not cutting it anymore. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Look what this verse says in Galatians chapter 3, I think it's verse 2 or 3. Verse 3, here's what the apostle said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know what, I remember going to a church service one day, and because we were Spirit-filled Baptists, we didn't know not to sing out of the hymnal. We sang a song out of the hymnal. Then the guy who's playing the guitar and leading worship, he starts singing this song that wasn't in the hymnal. And you know what? They did not even put the words up for us. I mean, not even an overhead projector. They could at least write them on there while he went. I mean, they didn't have anything. It just wasn't convenient. So you know what we did? We raised our hands. We bowed our knees. And we worshiped God. And he sang that song until we finally figured out the words to it. And then we sang with him. We worshiped God. See, can we go back to that verse? We began in the Spirit. I like having the words. I really like that a lot. But what happens if we start singing a song we don't have the words for? Oh, my. What happens if all of a sudden there are psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? What happens if all of a sudden the power of the Lord falls and we're no longer playing a game because we'll never be the same? Because his power shows up. And we've been called to come to a different place that's higher than we've ever been before. And his presence is there. And it's a psalm, brand new, hot off the press of the Spirit. What do? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to just worship and let him do what he wants to do. He said, you can't begin in the Spirit and then be made perfect by the flesh. Verse 5 says this in that same chapter. It says, he therefore that ministereth you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He's saying, are miracles going to take place because you're following a bunch of rules and you got the right lights and you got the right dress and you got the right order and you follow the same pattern that you're supposed to follow every single week? Does it happen like that, or because somebody heard God believe? Who do we hear? We hear the Spirit. The hearing of faith is hearing God speak. If we're going to be cisterns and we're going to be full, we got to be full of two things. The Bible's pretty clear about two things you got to be full of. Number one, am I in the right place in my little outline here? I don't know if I am or not. Number one, we've got to be full of the Word. Colossians 3:16. Look what this says. Now, this is going to sound familiar to a verse you hear a lot. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That sounds a whole lot like another verse, doesn't it? But look what it says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It could have said it this way. Be filled with the word. Be filled with the word in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He says, be filled with the Word. Be filled with the Word. Now that connects to this other verse that you already know in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. In verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We got to be filled with the Word so we can be filled with the Spirit. We got to be filled with the Spirit so we can be filled with the Word. In fact, the Word and the Spirit are always going to be in agreement with one another. But we got to be filled with both of them. Filled with the Word, filled with the Spirit. I like that. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Word, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We've got to be filled, and I like the way it says it here. It says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Literally saying, be being filled with the Spirit. Have you ever been around somebody who's filled with the wrong spirits, like at the bar, alcohol? You been around somebody like that? Is it terrible to be around them? Oh, it grieves me. Well, not always, because sometimes they're funny. They laugh at everything. Have you ever, You know, it's like, oh, they laugh at stuff. They don't know why, they just laugh. Have you ever been filled with the Spirit? Started to laugh. Oh man, all of a sudden, the Spirit's power comes and you just start laughing. And you're just laughing and you're laughing. So this is what you laugh about. I don't know. I can't stop laughing. I just simply cannot stop laughing because the presence of God is here and I cannot stop laughing. We're just too dang serious sometimes because the Spirit of God wants to move and He wants you to laugh sometimes. Practice. Just humor Him for just a minute. Just laugh out loud. No, really do it out loud. Uh-oh. I just sense the presence of God. Yeah, it's so funny. Somebody gets drunk, man, they laugh at stuff. Somebody who gets drunk, some ugly girl walked by and they go, man, she look good. And when you get drunk, people look good to you. I mean, they just look good. You get drunk in the Holy Ghost. People look good. I mean, they just look good. No longer can you harbor the ill feeling that you have. No longer can you stay mad. They just look good to you. Oh, man, did you see them while you're laughing? Oh, man, they look good. Oh, they look so good. Pastor, you're just talking about emotionalism. No, I'm talking about people drunk in the Holy Ghost. People that get drunk in the natural, they lose control. I mean, they can barely walk. Some of them try to drive. Have you ever been so full of the Holy Ghost you lost control? That's what I'm talking about. His presence moving in a place and people getting past their calculated movement. If I give in to that laughing thing, then I will look foolish. Hello. Some of y'all need to look foolish for a change. You've been in control for so long. Yeah, but I need a miracle. Then get out of control here. I'm not saying manufacture something. I'm telling you right now, I could just start lay down here and laugh because of the presence of God. There's a presence of God here that's so sweet. And I, you know what, Lord? I'm good with it. Laughing and enjoy Him. Enjoy what He wants to do today. Y'all looking good to me. Ooh-wee. Some people just need to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to themselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Be filled with the Word. Admonishing one another. See, one of you speak to yourself. One of you admonish one another. Teaching one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What that tells me is that if somebody gets a spiritual song and they begin to sing it and I already know it, then it's not. Then they're not teaching me, they're just admonishing me. But if I don't know it, I'm getting taught. It's time for us to have a move of the Spirit of God. Not just to manufacture it, but a move of the Spirit of God. Drunk people's actions are affected by what is flowing on the inside of them. Look at this verse of Scripture, Romans chapter 12. I'm getting somewhere in just a minute. It's going to be fun here in just a second. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Now, the first part of this chapter said, be renewed in your mind. It said, don't be conformed to the world. Look what this says. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business. Look at this phrase. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit. What would that even mean? Fervent in spirit. The word fervent, it originally in the Greek language, it meant to boil. It's talking about a person who is so enthusiastic about his task that he can hardly contain his excitement. In charismatic churches, or any church, There should be a constant boiling in our spirits by the presence with whom we're continually being filled. That verse while ago in Ephesians said, be filled with the Spirit. It literally says, be being filled. Keep on being filled. Keep getting filled. I got filled with the Spirit in 1972. Are you filled today? I got filled with the Spirit in 1984. Are you filled today? Can I tell you something? If you're filled today, you're going to be fervent in spirit. Are you bubbling over? Are you content this morning to just sit? Or you want the bubbling of the Spirit to come out of you? We talked yesterday morning at our men's breakfast. We said, you know what? When we get older, not anybody's old yet, we're all older. Not y'all yet, but you will be. You kind of slow down, don't you? Right? You just slow down. But does that mean you can't be bubbling over in your spirit? Does that mean that you no longer are passionate about God? Well, I'm too old to be passionate. No, you're not. The Bible talks about a fresh oil. There's no age discrimination on that. Oh, sure, maybe you can't stand up and do this, but you can sit down and on the inside be doing this. And that comes out of your face. That comes out of your words. That comes out of you because it's boiling over. The Bible says be fervent in spirit. Well, that's just not in my personality. You know what? God gave you a personality, but you're not stuck with it. In its weaknesses, you can build on what God gave you by faith in His Word. See, we need to be boiling over. There ought to be something going on in every single one of us where we're just boiling over right now because we're fervent in the Spirit. The Amplified says, be aglow and burning with the Spirit. The Living Bible says, serve the Lord enthusiastically. I skipped the J.B. Phillips. It says, let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning. The Message says, keep yourselves fueled and aflame. The Voice translation says, let your spirit be on fire, bubbling up and boiling over. Man, now who's responsible for that part? Me. It doesn't say, and God will make you fervent in spirit. No, He won't. I choose it. I choose today to be boiling over in my spirit. I choose to be red hot on fire for you, Jesus. But I don't feel like it. Who said you got to feel squat? You choose to be on fire for Him. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. To go through the motions is a waste of our time. To try to imitate everybody else is a waste of our time. What we need is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I love you, 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 Jesus. I love you. I'd just be saying that to yourself right now. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you more than anything else. I love you. I don't have to feel anything. Here's what the Bible says. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Right before it says, be being filled with the Spirit, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, tell us what the will of the Lord is. Here's the will of God. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But be being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. That is the will of God for you. All right, now. So where are we going with this now? Think about this. I'm just going to tell you some things about the Bible. There's a pattern here. I can see a pattern. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that they were all in one accord. And we're not going to read the verses, Ryan. You don't have to put them up there. We'll just do this. They were all in one accord, the Bible said. They were in one accord in the upper room, in one place. And all of a sudden, ooh-wee. Here's how we like to think of it. And the sweet Holy Spirit descended like a gentle dove. And they were tongues of fire. We have like kitten tongues. And they were filled with the Spirit. And they spake with other tongues. Can I just tell you, the Greek doesn't even say anything close to that. What happened here, they couldn't put it in words. And so what they're talking about, what the Bible is talking about is, have you ever read a description of God in the Bible? When it talks about when John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, he was on fire. When Daniel saw Jesus, he was on fire. When any prophet, Ezekiel, saw Jesus, he was on fire. Here they are, they're in the upper room. They get an agreement because Jesus said, hey, until you get the power of the Spirit on you, don't do anything because you're not capable of it. They get an agreement. They're praying for it. And when the Bible says, when it says tongues of fire, it is talking about channels of Holy Ghost fire, the very presence of God Himself, the very thing that covered Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the glory of God shot down in rays upon these guys. And I mean, they were hit. The Bible says, we read it this way, when it says, what does it say about a wind, a strong, mighty wind? It literally says, it's talking about a clap of thunder like an explosion. That's why everybody in town came to see what happened, because heaven exploded. The glory of God fell on them, and they began to speak in other tongues because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, they were so miraculously filled with the Spirit of God, they staggered out of that room, and everybody saw that they were drunk in the Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John got in trouble because they raised that guy from the gate called Beautiful, remember? This is sometime later now. They go back to church, and they said, hey, this is what's happened to us. And the Bible says they got in one accord. It's interesting. They got in one accord, and they said, God, behold their threatenings. Lord, we're just going to ask you for boldness so we can get more people healed, so we can proclaim the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the presence of God hit that building. The building was literally shaken. You know what it says? They were filled with the Spirit. Wait a minute. Weren't they already filled with the Spirit? Apparently not. You see, here's the truth. There is one baptism in the Holy Spirit for every person. But there are many infillments of the Spirit. And if you're riding the wave of a baptism in the Holy Spirit you got last year, 10 years ago, or 30 years ago, you are not in the right place today. You need to be filled again with the Spirit. The Apostle Paul got off the boat in Ephesus. He found 12 guys. He said, hey, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you got saved? They said, we never even heard of the Holy Spirit. He said, what? He gets them born again. He lays his hands on them. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. They spake in tongues and prophesied. And those 12 guys changed the whole region of Asia Minor, where everybody heard the gospel. And yet, now these guys were in Ephesus. And yet we just read in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is telling the very same people, be being filled with the Spirit. Why? Because we leak. Why? Because we must be continually in desperate communication with Him to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not enough to have been baptized in the Holy Spirit 25 years ago. What needs to happen is we need to be flowing with the Spirit today. The church needs fresh oil. We love the Lord. Amen? We've been making the right confessions of faith. But we need one other thing. Fresh oil. Can I tell you something? The Lord just has been real clear to me about this. We can preach a good message, but every church in town can preach a good message. We can have great praise and worship, but every church in town can have great praise and worship. We can, but we don't. We can have cool lights, but somebody's always going to have cooler lights. You know what we need? The presence of God. His presence here. We need His presence here. We need His presence here. Are you open to that? I notice it said they got in one accord. They got together on this deal. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, they got in one accord. They came to an agreement. They said, we got to have you, God. We have to have you. You. We got to have you. We have to have you. I acknowledge this morning, Holy One, that we have to have you. Lord, we don't want to conjure up anything. We have to have you. We have to have you. We have to have you. I found out that when the Bible says that when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, it says somebody talked. They spoke. They spoke in tongues. They prophesied. People began to speak when the Spirit began to fall. They spoke. I mean, something came bubbling out of them. And something happened and it had to come out. They weren't timid. They weren't shy. I mean, they began to speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It just can't stay in there. Churches that are quiet all the time are not having the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Because in the Word, I can see every time they were speaking, I've got to say something. Either in tongues, in English. See, some of you have had psalms come to you in the night. But you didn't know what they were. And you didn't say them out loud. You've had hymns. Oh, spiritual songs that have come. One more passage and then we're going to do something else here. Revelation chapter 2. Look what this says. This is in verse 4. Now, before we read this, this is, remember the first part of this, the Lord is speaking to the church at Ephesus. This is the church that Paul started when he got off the boat and those 12 guys changed the world. This is the church that the Apostle Paul said, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I'm walking in the middle of you. I know your deeds. He tells them some good stuff they've done. Then he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Sometimes we get so involved in church and we get so comfortable at church that we allow that which is holy to become profane. We allow that which we're used to take place. Make that which is so awesome, we allow it to become commonplace to us. Here's what he said. You've left your first love. Be being filled with the Spirit. The next verse he said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Right now, I want you to take a second. I want you to think about the time in your life when you were closest to God. Think about it. Think about it for just a minute. Think about this time. Now, I want you to engage with me here. Don't just think I've got to hurry up because we're not nearly through yet. I hope that wasn't bad news. Do you remember? Do you remember? Oh my goodness, I remember staggering into McDonald's. Freshly baptized in the Holy Ghost. Staggered in there with my friend who got baptized with me. I remember the girl said, What would you like? And I said, Kulamashakatabakuparinisha. She looked at the other guy, and he was saying the same thing. She looked at the guy that brought us, and he said, they'll have two Big Macs. Because we were drunk in God. I mean, His presence was everywhere. Do you remember those days? Do you remember a time when you were more in love with Jesus than you are right now? Is there a time? Remember that time. That's why I'm asking you to remember that time. I remember being so full of the Holy Ghost in my life. It was like we used to go to Gary and Kim's house in Roswell, and we'd get these soda bottles, and we'd put that cleaner in them. What's that stuff called, Caleb? That plumber or whatever it was, that cleaner? Huh? The works is what it's called. This is for you guys to know. We'd get a little piece of aluminum foil, wad it up and drop it in there, put the lid on it, set that thing on the ground, and you could see it building. Because there's a chemical reaction between the works. It's the only cleaner it works with. The works, and aluminum foil. All of a sudden, that bottle got bigger and bigger until, boom! Have you ever been that full of God? Where He just came out of you. You had to let Him go. Either through laughter or through tears or through praying in the Spirit or singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I mean, a spiritual song just had to come out of you. Remember that. He said, remember that and repent. Lord, I repent. I repent for not being in love with You today the way I was there. I repent. I don't ever want to go away again. I want to love with everything I have. And do the first works. I don't know exactly what that is for you. But you got to do what you were doing. Does that mean I got to go back and remarry that woman? No, that's not what we're talking about here. Man, did you remember the intensity of your prayer? Do you remember witnessing to everything that could move? Do you remember just loving God? I mean, waking up, just loving on Him. Look what He says, that what happens if you don't. He says, or else I'm going to come to you quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place. This is talking about the church. God wants us in His presence. He wants to move in here like we have never seen Him move before. See, there are miracles waiting to happen. There are things that need to happen. Think about this for just a moment. We're getting ready to worship here in just a moment. We must come to the place today of one accord. So we can call for Him. I'm not going to make anything happen. I want Him to make it happen. And we just need Him to come in our place. Number two, you cannot put new wine in an old wineskin. This is the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning. He said, the charismatic renewal is an old wineskin. It's time for a new wineskin. A new move of the Spirit of God. A new move. And then the Lord told me, I just hear these things in the Spirit. He said, tell the people you've got to prime the pump. The Scripture says this. It says, out of your belly or your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It says, this spake He of the Spirit. At that time, He wasn't given, but He said there's just rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit said, prime the pump. I heard the story of a guy who was really thirsty, and he was out in the country, and he found this old pump. Have you ever seen those old pumps that you have to pump like this to get the water to come out? My uncle had one on his farm near Brownfield, and that was the way you got the water to go in the horse trough. You buy the windmill there, and there's a windmill, and you pump it. And this guy came to a windmill, and he saw the windmill, thought there's got to be water. He was thirsty, and then he saw the pump. And there with the pump, there was a sign and a bottle of water. And the sign said this. It said, if you want water, take the water that's in the bottle. No matter how thirsty you are, no matter how dry it is, no matter what's going on with you, take the water in the bottle and pour it down into the well. It says, if you will take the water in the bottle and pour it down in the well, you will have all the water you can drink, all the water you can dream of, if you will take the water in the bottle and pour it down in the well. It said, but if you drink the water in the bottle, that's all the water you get. Because the well will not pump unless you prime it. And so he took the bottle of water. One, he thought, what if it doesn't work? Then I'm still going to be thirsty. That's where faith comes in. He finally said, all right, I'm taking it. He poured the water down in the well while he pumped it. And all of a sudden, then it said, and be sure to fill the bottle up first before you leave. And he started pumping as he poured. All of a sudden, the water began to flood up and flood out of that well, filled up the bottle, and then he got all to drink that he could ever hope to drink. Y'all ready to prime the pump? How about just an amen? Amen? Father, we want your power today. We are tired and finished with low-level Christianity. Lord, we want a new wineskin. We want new. We want fresh. We want you in this place. Lord, we don't want to be old and worn out. We want to be fresh in your spirit.